For over 100 years, Jones Topsoil has been part of your community, delivering topsoil, mulch, sand, and gravel. Slinger Jones, bringing it home to you. Whether you're planting a vibrant flower bed, growing your own vegetables, or giving your lawn a fresh start, be the envy of the neighborhood with topsoil and mulch from Slinger Jones. For greener lawns and brighter flower beds, call 1-800-TOPSOIL. Order online at jonestopsoil.com.
Jones Topsoil brings it home to you.
This is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back. 10:05 ESPN 97.5. Is Lance beating it or is he here?
He's still in the room, but he's not talking.
Oh, he's not talking. All right. So, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here with us on ESPN 97.5. Do you see Ron Jeremy's in some trouble, though?
For some reason, he came up on this show maybe last week. And, yeah, I saw it trending that he's been accused of sexual assault. Multiple accounts.
Dude hasn't had enough in his life? I mean, really?
I mean, we talked about this. It's not a sex thing when guys do stuff like this. That's a power, you're not going to say no to me type deal. I mean, I've completely removed the whole, well, that guy just wanted something. It can't be that. It can't be.
No, not because, listen, when he was here, a dude has let himself go. He's not the most handsome guy. He let himself go. He was on our show at Nick's place. I forget how long ago it was. It was 2, 3, 4 years ago. I don't know, whatever it was. But he was with us at Nick's place. And, you know, he was doing Ron Jeremy stuff and some jokes and whatever. But he's not the most handsome man, I can tell you that. And yet, the women throw themselves at him because of his prowess, because of one thing that he's known for. And that's fine and good. It just amazes me. Like, Darren Sharper just amazes me. He could have had any woman that probably he wanted. Handsome guy, he had money, he had a great job, he was a pro football player, all of these things. And then he had to drug them and had sex with them and their catatonic bodies. Which is just unbelievable to me that you would do. And if, in fact, Ron Jeremy did force himself on women, dude, you could have, and you have had more women than most guys ever, in the history of the world.
Well, it just tells you that it's not I'm really sexually attracted to this woman. It's a, because we can't fathom it, because what's attractive about having a woman catatonic and then forcibly doing something to her? That doesn't seem attractive to any of us. Well, at least certainly not the two people talking here. So it can't be simply, well, he was really attracted to her. There's something psychologically going on that has nothing to do with the attractiveness of a woman and sexual desire.
No, right. Yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah, it's just about power. And, yeah, I have this over you, and I just like to be, to have some response as opposed to, you know, knocking them out with a drug. And, I mean, that to me, just a, you know, some kind of response
you'd
would be
like,
great.
You'd like a woman who wants to be there with you. And then you can have an enjoyable time for both of you, as opposed to what we're talking about in these two instances. And Ron Jeremy, 3 counts of forcibly trying to rape a woman and another count of, I think, a sexual assault in terms of, like, using something, an object to penetrate a woman. So all of it is ugly. These date back to 2014, and charges are finally brought against them.
And especially that dude, as much as he's gotten. All right, I would think you're getting like that turtle, that 100-year-old turtle. That's
who,
got
who was done? Who was just done for?
Yeah,
he's like,
he
I'm tired.
Said, I'm done. Yeah, I'm tired.
Yeah,
okay,
well.
Ron, You got to be tired by now. All right? Just wait for somebody that – and, oh, by the way, there are still a bunch of women out there that could say, hey, I was with Ron Jeremy, even though it's this iteration of Ron Jeremy.
Yeah, looks like it was three women, ages 33, 46, and 30. And he – yeah, three women, four different counts. Actually, four women, excuse me. So it's awful. Just trying to get facts from the case. It's terrible.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
No. That's another thing. Stop force, guys. All right. Let's stop racism and forcing yourself on women. Okay. Can we do those two things? That'd be great. Let's try to do that from here on. Looks like so we've got three opt-outs now in the NBA. Three or four?
We have Avery Bradley for health reasons concerning his son. We have Davis Bertans, who actually we didn't even get to it. He actually clapped back at Evan Fournier. He pretty much said when you look into the health concerns and what it would be like to play in Orlando, then you get back to me. So and pretty much said stop subtweeting me. You can talk to me directly if you got something to say. So Davis Bertans actually did clap back at him. And who's the other one?
Bradley.
He was another guy on a team who was in the ninth seed. It was a Trevor Ariza.
Oh yeah, Trevor Ariza for his kid. That's
yes.
Right. He's doing it for his kid.
Yeah.
And so we've got those three, and it's probably going to be more than that. We'll see how many more are going to opt out. The NFL is talking about giving players opt out options for 2020. That'll be very interesting. One-third of NFL teams had at least one player test positive. meanwhile, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Denver Broncos, Houston Texans, and Dallas Cowboys confirmed to have multiple cases. Here's the deal is, I don't know why we're reporting every... We just saw now that Nikola Jokic, he's tested positive. And if you want to know the truth, if I'm an NFL team, listen, I don't want them to get the worst strain of it, but there are obviously milder strains. I'm witness to that right here in my own home. We've had two positive tests, and both my girls are fine. We talked to Al Rosen, who said he had, a slight fever. He had a mild strain of it. If I'm an NFL team, as long as it is the milder strain, are you all that upset that you've got guys that are testing positive now?
If you're looking at it in terms of how many guys can I have on my team when the season is ready and that won't be knocked out, in that viewpoint, that let's say cynical viewpoint, sure, you would want as many guys to get it in mild strains where maybe they have the sniffles or a sinus thing and they're back up and running. And if the evidence bears out that you don't get it again – and you can't carry it and give it to someone else. If all that stuff turns out to be true, it would be in this cynical approach an advantage to get it now and get it out of the way, and then hopefully have your team at full go once the season begins.
As long as it's a milder strain,
certainly. And did you see that baseball being a little less understandable? Bob Nightingale tweeting throughout the morning. Only players who are considered high risk can elect to opt out of the season and still receive their full prorated pay. And baseball even has something as far as if you have a pregnant spouse. In the final health safety protocol, players who have a pregnant spouse can go on a 3-day maternity list and be paid, or a family emergency be paid for a maximum of 7 days. Yeah, the player still needs more time. It's up to the club's discretion to pay salary or not. Some of it, people were pointing out that COVID, you can be more susceptible to it if you're pregnant, and some players might decide, you know what, I don't want to expose myself when I have a pregnant spouse. But the league is saying, if you're not high risk, we'll give you a couple days. But it doesn't appear that you can just elect out of the season and still get paid, even if you have a pregnant woman at home.
Well, and NFL saying, it's interesting, Avery Bradley, who has a high-risk son, who has issues with respiratory issues, him taking off, I'll be interested to see if the Lakers pay him. I'll be interested to see because that's a hell of a reason, is that I'm not going to put my kid at risk.
Yeah, with the NBA, did they leave it up to the team's discretion if it wasn't a player with a pre-existing condition, which obviously would be harmful, so let's not put the player in the position. If the player has a kid or a spouse who has a pre-existing condition, does the NBA have a rule in place about how they would handle that, or is that the team has to decide?
I guess the team would, because if you opt out, you're not getting paid now. And they said he's going to lose hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And, you know, a reason is a good reason, but I put that on his ex-wife, that he's going to have to do that. But it's a good reason to be home with your kid. And then who was he? Bertans. Bertans is watching this. Okay, I want my bag. Okay, that's all. I just want my bag.
Yeah, next year's bag. I'll take a loss of a little under $600K for this year because I want to guarantee my bag for next
year. Right. Yep.
John, before we go, I pose a question. Think of it right now, 60-game season, because we haven't gotten to this. How many games do you think the Astros win? Because the win totals are up. We can get into those.
Okay, let's do it on the other side. What Astros, all teams win totals out of 60 games. We'll do that on the other side. Right now, though, I want to talk about American Shaman. Okay, and Lance was making fun of me because I'm a CBD guy now, and I am a CBD guy. And the American Shaman is better than the other CBD companies. Listen, I'm no CBD expert, but when they did the demonstration for me, you got a syringe, not a syringe, but you have you pull it out. It's a syringe full of the CBD, and you put it in the water. And what happens is it mixes in evenly. And that is something that American Shaman has that's proprietary. So the other ones don't do that. It's oil and water. It's called oil, CBD oil, and it doesn't mix with the water. So it's not getting into your system evenly, the other ones. American Shaman is. It's the best of nature enhanced by science. It's absorbed into the bloodstream much quicker and efficiently than regular CBD oil, because oil and water don't mix. But this does. So what's going to happen is it's going to relieve your everyday stress, it's calmness, relaxation. This is what it's doing for me. I sleep great, healthy joint functions, natural sleep, healthy immune system, I guess. I don't know about my immune system. Healthy inflammatory response associated with exercise, all of those things. And if you have a stress related to fireworks, 4th of July is coming up, stop by CBD American Shaman. CBD supports a healthy response to stress and promotes calmness and relaxation too. So go to – there are shops all over, 30 of them around the city. ShopCBDTX.com. Visit ShopCBDTX.com.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I was just thinking about this, Dell. I haven't looked it up. Astros win total. They're going to be one of the better teams. They're playing in the AL West and NL West. The NL West has the Dodgers, so that's going to be difficult. They're only going to play them four times, though. They're going to be playing their own. They're going to play, what, 10 times against their own division?
Yes, each team, they'll get 10 matchups.
Yeah, that's going to be 40 games and then 20 with four games against the other division, the NL West. The NL West, they should, for the most part, dominate. I wonder which would be the weakest. Probably the AL Central would be the weakest division. Winning the AL and NL Central.
Well, I'm looking at the team totals, and the Twins are up there, and the Indians are up there as well. So that's already two AL Central teams. The White Sox over 30 games won. So that division, and Kansas City's at 24.5. So the AL Central, actually, if I'm looking at records based on this win total, better than the AL West.
Well, you got two top teams, though. You got the A's and the Astros in the AL West. And I don't know. Okay, let me guess. I'm going to go, if it's 30 for the – 30 is the number for the White Sox?
31.5.
So they think they're going to be a 30.5? They think they're going to be a 500 team.
31.5, yep.
They think they'll be over 500. Wow. So the Astros have got to be much higher. And that, to me, I was going to say 36-24. That's 12 games over 500. That's a lot. I would say, okay, I'll say 36.5 for the Astros.
Game under, 35.5.
35.5. Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said 36 to start, 35.5. Okay. That makes but that White Sox one threw me for a little bit.
Yeah,
if you didn't tell me that first. I would have, been in that neighborhood. So the Astros have got to win 36 games, 12 games over 500. That ain't gonna be easy.
No,
not gonna be easy.
Not in a 60 game schedule. Their close competitor in the AL West, according to the win totals, is the A's at 33.5, and you might imagine the two favorites are the Yankees and the Dodgers, both at 38.5, and the Astros right behind them at 35.5. Yeah, the Nationals, the defending champions at 33.5. A lot of teams are there. The Braves, the A's, the Rays, and the Nationals.
Well, they lost a bunch, though.
They did. But they are the favorite to win their division.
Rendon, Price. I mean, the Dodgers I could see at 38.5. The Dodgers you got to play four times. If the Astros take two out of four from the Dodgers, that'll be good. That's going to be a chippy series. I don't think there's any question about that. That's going to be very chippy.
On both sides. the Astros have their internal thing with the Dodgers, considering how much chirping there was, and the Dodgers still will consider the Astros stole their title. Now, there will be less vitriol, certainly, if it appears, despite what our governor said earlier, if the trend continues where we're dealing with upticks in COVID cases, who knows what he says about about fans. But I don't see the Dodgers having any fans in their building for those games.
No, the Dodgers. No, L.A., I don't think there's any chance. Yeah, there's no chance that the Dodgers will have fans. So that'll be good. Wow. So 35.5. I think that's a big number. I think if you want to know the truth, I think that 36 wins the division. 12 games over 500 easily wins the division.
And because of the schedule, and it's an obvious thing, as long as we expect the A's to be pretty good, and so does this win total, we're talking about for the first time in how long the Astros are going to be in a pennant race. When's the last time the Astros were in a pennant chase where they were, 3 years?
Right.
Where they were actually fighting for playoff positioning in terms of winning the division late in the year.
Yeah, but they've had to fight for home field.
Yeah, we would think from going by this, the Astros and A's would be the two teams fighting for the division, or the other team would get the wild card, considering the win totals right now. But they haven't had to fight out a division title since they didn't win one in 16?
Right. Right. Yeah, the division title, right. You know, it's a notoriously slow starting team too.
I'm worried about Bregman being 20 games deep into his season and still struggling, and there's only two thirds of the season left.
Right, that he doesn't get. That'll be very, very interesting to see if Bregman can start fast. That's going to be a key, actually. We know Yordan's a fast starter. That's good. Will Bregman have to be? Will they have to pull him out of the three hole at any time?
Well, is Dusty a guy who would do that? I don't know his history as far as that is concerned.
Dusty, he's watched him obviously, but he's never managed him before, so he's got no. I have to keep that guy in the three hole.
Yeah, because in a playoff series, now AJ Hinch didn't do it for George Springer, and we saw what happened in a positive way there in this World Series. But in a playoff series, you'd be like, okay, this guy's struggling. I got to pull him out of the three-hole. Now, these aren't the playoffs, but it's going to feel kind of like that because of the shortened season. So can you live with a 10 to 15 game stretch where your three hole hitter is struggling? Or will you be forced to make a move and say, look, in a normal baseball year, I let you figure it out, but I can't right now. How reactive and how flexible will managers be considering they don't have normal baseball time to let guys just figure things
right.
out?
That's baseball. You know what? It's a long season, and it's not a long season now.
You have to make decisions.
It's a sprint. This is like a college baseball season now.
Which, that's why, despite all the back and forth, I was excited about this year, not necessarily because of the teams, but how will they adjust? Will we see people stick to the 162 formula, or will they say themselves, I got to start treating these things like extended playoff series?
Well, and here's the thing. You know, Lance was talking about going to four-man rotations. There's no chance. You're playing 60 games in a couple of months. So you're going to be playing six times a week at least. I mean, there's going to be it looks like, I don't know, but if they say they're going to do this in 2 months – when do they have to be ready? What's the date? July 19th? Is it going to start? Or
I thought it was later in July. Like, I'll look it up. What about the stress of the pitching? Like we hear all the time that playoff pitching is different. Regular season pitching right now in the 60 games. Every pitches are going to be more important. Games are going to be more important. Will the stress of pitching in this truncated format be too much for guys? Will we see guys wear down, even though it's not as long as of a year?
I don't think so. I don't think you'll see guys wear down. What I think you'll see is that you're going to – listen, your fifth starter is just as important as your first starter because, you know, unless you've got days off where that fifth – you can take that fifth guy off, that he can take that off, you're going five deep. And when you're only talking about 60 games, that fifth starter game is crucial. Crucial. So the deepest rotations are going to be the best. And the trade deadline
season starts.
They're going to have a trade deadline August 31st.
Yeah, I saw that. People are like, what? It's July 23rd or the 24th is when the season will start.
July 23rd. So basically you only have over the 2 months – basically, you're only going to have a good 7 days off because August and September, you've got to play 60 games if you're going to start on time, which is what I think they're planning to do. There will be COVID injured lists with no minimum or maximum length of time spent on it. Standard injured list stints will be for 10 days, and the typical 60-day stint instead will be 45. 30 men on a roster for the first 2 weeks, then go to 28 for the next 2 weeks and stay at 26 for the remainder of the season. They'll have a taxi squad that allows them to have as many as 60 players available to play in major league games. So, man, yeah, I'm telling you, Urquidy's going to be huge. McCullers, Urquidy, Greinke, Verlander, and who's
the fifth guy? Or fourth guy, depending on how you want to.
Well,
line
I think Urquidy's probably going to be the fourth guy right now.
Do we have it's spring training was so long ago. Who do we remember?
I forget
who was going to be the fifth guy.
Who the fifth guy was going to be? Let's see, 2020 spring training. Let me look at the stats from 2020 spring training.
Was it going to be Austin James?
Pruitt started a game. Josh James. Brandon Belak. McCullers started three games. Christian Javier started a game. But I think they were just starting some relievers in those games.
Yeah, and remember
Austin Pruitt looked really good in his nine innings.
Remember Verlander didn't pitch at all, so more guys or different guys got to start.
What about Fromber? Yeah, Fromber started three games. It's between Fromber and Josh James, more than likely.
And Fromber isn't one of the guys who got suspended, right? Or did he already come back? I'm trying to he was suspended. Was he suspended at all? Why do I feel like that name? Was he ever suspended?
No, it wasn't him. It was another Hispanic player. He got 50. Oh, no, he got 100 now because it's his second positive test.
Okay, yeah, Fromber was in the was in question as far as guys who would start. I mean, there are articles about him being the fifth starter.
Mm-hmm. No, that wasn't Fromber that got suspended.
Yeah, I don't see anything. I'm thinking of someone else.
Yeah. Francis Martez.
Yeah, there it is.
Martez got suspended 162 games. That's right, 162 games. All right, 713-780-3776. It's going to be very interesting. 35.5. I don't know if I'm going over on that one. That's going to be a tough. You're winning 36 games, being 12 games over 500, 60 games into the season. 12 games over 500 is pretty good at the end of the season. So, yeah, that's 12 games over 500 is an 87 game is 87 wins. That's a pretty good season, 87 wins. Now the Astros are a 97
plus,
win team.
Yeah, they're an elite baseball team.
Yeah,
but are they an elite baseball team?
But to still get it done over a 60 game period is not going to be easy.
Yeah, and the Dodgers and Yankees are even better at three more games. So it'll be interesting to see. What is the magic number for these teams as far as win totals and clinching playoff berths? Well, do you think a team's going to clinch a playoff berth with 5 games ago, 10 games ago? When are those magic numbers become a thing? And how far down the line do we get before those things get clinched?
You're going to find races are going down to the very last day. I bet you half the races come down to the last day of the season. And the wild cards will probably all the wild cards come down to the last game.
Yeah, how many teams will be involved on the last day for a wild card spot?
I'll bet you there's two wild cards in each league, four teams. I'll bet you there's eight or nine teams that are involved in a wild card in the last day. Because it's going to be bunched up. And then, you know what it's going to be? It's going to be right around 31 wins. Well, 31.
Well, I'm looking
that's
at
going to be in the wild card, huh?
And I'm looking at all the teams who are scheduled to win 31 or are predicted to win 31. There's you're looking at about 6 or 7, maybe more. I think maybe 8 I'm looking at on this list.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I'm telling you, that's gonna be that's gonna be wild card neighborhood.
You know, it's
right around 500.
It'll be a disaster, but the misery of those schedule makers is they have to figure out how many extra games they're gonna have to play. And what they want to be a truncated year and COVID and all those things come to play. Like how – if they're like 5 teams tied to the same record after the last day, how do they figure all that out? In something where they don't want this season to extend longer than it has to.
Right. Yeah, but usually you play that off. How are you going to play off if 3 teams are all tied, 4 teams are tied for the wild card? That's going to be wild. 1034 ESPN 97.5, what we're going to talk about now is being a champion. That's what your Astros are. You know, Jim Crane owned Champion Energy, sold it, but it's still right here in Houston. And as a matter of fact, it's right next to Crane building. They're still in that same building right there on the Hardy Toll Road. And it is it's awesome. I love Champion Energy. I get my bill every month, and I'm like, whatever. That's easy. I could pay that. And before that, it was like a pain. It was like, wow. I can't believe how much this is costing. And that was over 10 years ago. So you're looking for, and I'm paying less now than I was paying then. And what do you pay less now than you paid 10, 12 years ago? But Champion Energy's spectacular. You're looking for the best way to get that electricity to your house and you want to pay less? Champion.energy/1560. That's champion.energy/1560.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here in a hurry. Let's do that. Two of the worst 4 teams are in the AL Central. The Royals and the Tigers, their win totals are 24.5 and 21.5 for the Tigers. They're pitiful. The Orioles are pitiful. The Astros have two of the top six. Well, 33.5 under over. It goes all the way down to eight teams. So two of the top eight are in the division. The A's are a good team. I think the Angels are going to be better. They picked up Rendon. That's going to be a much better lineup. That's going to be interesting to see. The Dodgers, obviously, that's going to be tough. That's going to be fun. Those will be fun games against the Dodgers. But other than that, in the NL West, is pretty lean. The Diamondbacks are 31.5. The San Diego Padres are 31.5.
And the Rockies are 27.5. So
Rockies are 27.5, and the Giants are 25.5.
Yeah. If we go back to our previous segment discussing who could possibly be in contention for a wild card, at least a couple, the Padres and the Diamondbacks are in that mix for wild card spots. So while they may not be great teams or even good teams because of the season, they're going to be playing like they have a real shot at the playoffs, and they might. So the Astros, depending on when those series take place, might be playing teams desperate for playoff positioning. So the Astros are better than them, but the way the season is set up, they're going to be playing teams who believe they can make the playoffs pretty much throughout the entire year.
Well, here's the deal is this is so advantageous to an older rotation like the Astros, though. I mean, Verlander's just going to be kicking in 60 games into the season as opposed to wearing out. He could be at his strongest come playoff time. And then playoff time, let's not forget, you don't need five starters. A lot of times you don't even need four. But they should go four, though, because you don't want Verlander on 3 days rest. We've seen him trying to push it. But this will be the middle of the season. It's going to be much different than him throwing 200 innings, 300 strikeouts, trying to get his 3,000th strikeout, wearing his ass out, no hitter, all of those things that he did last year. And he was just worn out by the time. He was not the same guy in the postseason. And but after 60 games, he's going to probably be just hitting his stride.
And I wonder how good he'll be in this regular season, considering how much time he's had off since his final pitches in the postseason last year. He's if we're talking about final runs for guys, as far as a potential great season for an older pitcher, he's primed for it. If he comes back from the injury like the way we expect it to happen, all things go the way we hope that they can go, he could have, now it'll only be 60 games, how many starts he'll have, he could have a ridiculous year as long as he stays healthy from start to finish because of just the rest and the lack of miles that are going to be on this arm, at least for this season.
So he'll get 12 starts, maybe 13 starts. Because you'll skip on a day off, you could maybe a couple days off, maybe 14 starts. Does he get to 10 wins?
10-4? Yeah.
Yeah.
That seems.
Well, he won't get every win. You know, he won't get a decision every game. But
that's true. 10 wins out of 14 starts seems. I think I would take it.
Yeah. Absolutely. A 10-win season for any guy is going to. Yes, you're an ace. With a 10-win season,
I'm actually happy for McCullers too. Obviously, he's going to be back, but he doesn't have to go and worry about can I get to 200 innings this year. It won't be a concern of his. He can just go out and pitch, and hopefully, a truncated year is certainly better for him as he tries to come back. It won't be the full grind of an entire year,
right?
As he tries to work his way back into being a big time starter.
You think Dusty uses the bullpen more or less than he normally do in a regular season? You let JV go 8 to 9 innings if you got a 2-run lead and he's thrown 90 pitches. You absolutely let him go. You absolutely let him go. He's pitching. He's not going to throw 200 innings this year. He's going to throw 14 starts times 7. He's going to throw just over 100 innings. Or right at 100 innings. Yes, absolutely, you let him go. You got here's the deal is and listen, I don't know. I know if it was AJ, AJ's going to let him and Greinke. Well, Greinke, maybe he would trust Greinke more this year. He certainly didn't trust him last year. Maybe he would trust him more this year because he'd have to. But McCullers coming off the Tommy John, or Keady with his inexperience, Josh James, you never know what you're going to get out of Josh James third time through the rotation. Those guys are the guys that are you're going to probably be using your bullpen a hell of a lot more for. You've got to let Greinke and Verlander, especially at 36, 37 years old, you've got to let those guys throw and use it up. You've got to get the most out of those two guys these next 2 years because they're gone after the next 2 years.
Another thing about this season, the Astros' bullpen has been one to wear down. Now, some of the players mm-hmm. who are part of that are no longer here, specifically Will Harris. But like you mm-hmm. said, I feel like all this stuff lines up for the Astros to not only be really good, but to be potentially at their best when it matters the most.
Oh, yeah. No, the Astros have a huge edge. The Astros have a huge edge. There's no question. Now, you got the bats got to start quicker. And like the first week of the season could be – I don't remember when they started slow
was
a couple years ago.
Were they 1-3?
Like, where are these bats?
Were they like 1-3 and you were and you were freaking out about the bats?
I was freaking out about the bats. But you know what? 1-3 now is – I mean, that's it. Season's over.
You're two games – yeah, the A's start off 4-0 and you're already three games back.
Three games back. You can't make that up. It's impossible to make up three games in a 60-game season.
We've never seen it done before.
No. Have you ever seen it done? No.
No. But what I have seen is a caller, and Dave wants to call in and talk about the injuries on the Astros. What's up, David?
Hey, guys. Not so much the injuries on the Astros, but I was sitting here thinking about it after listening to y'all, and I know JV and McCullers is going to be good for them with the less innings and everything, but one nagging hamstring or anything from any of these teams, I mean, with the 60 games, it's really going to be tough. If one star gets injured for, you know, a lot of these teams, Rendon goes down for 20 games, their season's over almost. And, you know, that just came to my head, and I was thinking about it. I was like, I was worried about that a little bit. But, yeah, I'll hang up and listen, but yeah. I was thinking about that.
Well, God forbid it's Altuve or
Correa, who we know. Yeah. He doesn't like it, but he misses time.
In a 60-game season, Correa, you know what? I love this for Correa.
Well, I only love it if it doesn't happen. But if it does, if something bad happens, then he's out for the year.
That's true.
Yeah, I love it if he only has to play about 80 games when you include the playoffs. I don't like it if he gets hit with the foul ball or there's a massage and then the dude's out for three quarters of the year,
he's
maybe
not
more.
Can he injure himself with a massage again?
I don't know.
Okay.
Know that to be the
case? Nobody goes into a season saying, I hope I don't get a massage.
Well, this is the precedent he set. That's not my fault. That's his fault.
We got to stop with the, oh my God, he might get a massage. And then be out for the season.
If I told you Correa was getting a massage, would you be concerned?
I don't think that he's ever going to do that again.
I feel
think
like
he's too smart for that.
No, I feel like that's part of the regimen to get his body right and keep it right for games. He is going to get massages, so it's a risk.
I think the team has to put in his contract no more massages. That's it.
Is that going to be part of arbitration?
Yeah. Yeah. That's part of his arbitration hearing. $8 million, no massages. All right, News of the Weird coming your way next right here on ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
Hey, Dell, it looks like George R.R. Martin is going to finish Winds of Winter in 2021 after quarantine writing boost.
Oh, well, COVID coming through. That guy finally has nothing else to do, so he can actually write the thing that made him famous and rich. Thanks, George. It's only been what, at least a decade, I think?
Well, I know it's not going to end like it did. Am I right?
Look, there are some people who believe he gave them an outline to how it would end, but there are so many different storylines that they never got to. I think if you're a fan of the magic part of Game of Thrones, like the that type of thing, I think you're going to get some of that, because in the books, Catelyn Stark was risen from was brought back from the dead, and that storyline never got shown in the books.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the show. There's also some stuff about a potential usurper to the throne, another Targaryen that didn't get killed when Robert took over. So there's a lot of things that people want to see tied up that George will do. That just there's a lot more depth to get to if you're a book reader. And I do think there'll be a different ending. I mean, John may still kill Dany. Possibly. But I do think it'll be a different path. I think there'll be a different path to get there than what we got.
Yeah. I think that there was such a backlash from that whole last two episodes that I think he's going to do it different. I think it's going to be different.
Yeah, I don't know. If he might have already had it different in his head, and then the Game of Thrones, the creators in terms of the TV show, did it that way because they needed to wrap up a show. So I'm not
right.
sure.
Right. Lord of the Rings TV series is issues New Zealand casting call for funky-looking people. Do you think you could get a job?
I think they better be very clear about what funky-looking people means.
In New Zealand?
Before they catch a case. You better be very clear about what you mean, because there's an indigenous community there, and if that's what they mean, they're going to catch some heat. I just hope they're clear about what they mean by funky.
Let's be clear about what
does that mean? You mean people with piercings and tattoos, or although Lord of the Rings wouldn't have tattoos, I guess? I don't remember. You're the nerd. Did Lord of the Rings characters have tattoos?
No,
so
no tattoos.
So I don't know what funky looking people mean. Do they mean people with facial deformities? What do they mean?
I don't know. I think you're right. I don't want to go into what funky is, but I'll tell you what. The orcs they have a look.
Yeah, but
they're not a handsome race.
No, but that is created by prosthetics, not a human being who looks like that.
Right.
So I just look. I'm a fan. I'm not the nerd that you are. I don't quote Thorin Oakenshield, but I do like that fantasy sci-fi stuff. So I will watch.
Yeah.
But let's get it off the ground. So be clear what you mean by funky people, looking people.
I'll be interested to see what the look is. Have you ever been in the Chinese army? They're having a problem, apparently, with excessive masturbation right now.
I've never been in the Chinese army, but I understand.
Have you ever had a problem with that, though?
I wouldn't say it was a problem, John.
You'd say it was Tuesday.
Yeah, what do you mean, problem? How do you think I get to snap so quickly?
What else do we have? Oh, apparently in Goa, apparently drug peddlers are having a problem due to lack of market. They're jobless and they're having to wash cars now and sell vegetables. Do you feel bad for drug peddlers in Goa?
No, I feel like. I appreciate the hustle. Do what you do. If you're living check to check or I don't know how drug dealers in terms of how they get paid, I'm sure it's not direct deposit. If that has become a problem for you, go out there and get a job, a legitimate job. And then once the drug trade is back up and running, get back to it. That's all. I appreciate you finding different modes of income, peddlers.
Apparently, My Little Pony is having a subculture built around Nazism.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof. Look, my only experience with My Little Pony is I worked at a bookstore, and we had My Little Pony books, and the bronies would come in. Do you know what a brony is?
No, which mostly made up of men, or bronies, as they've been referred to for nearly a decade. Most of these men are white. Some of these men are vocal white supremacists.
I didn't get that vibe from the guys who would come in and buy the My Little Pony books, but they'd be in the kids section, some of the books. And one guy came up and bought some My Little Pony books, and I looked to my coworker and goes, "That's a brony. That's what a brony looks like." And the guy behind him had a My Little Pony shirt. It was like, "Yeah, I'm a brony too." I was like. They're a certain breed because they wear the shirts to let you know they're not ashamed, and some people would say they should be.
Hmm. A man's bladder exploded after holding in pee for 18 hours after he went on a beer binge. My question to you, have you ever had your bladder exploded, or have you ever gone on a beer binge?
Neither one, and I thought the beer binge would lead to you not even caring about your bladder. You would just let it go. Why would a guy who goes on a beer binge all of a sudden care about holding it in?
Well, I don't think he did. The 40-year-old, identified only as Mr. Who, reportedly fell asleep or passed out after downing 10 bottles of beer during a heavy drinking session the night prior without heeding nature's call once.
Don't you guys just pee on yourself when that happens?
Yeah. I mean, if your bladder is about to, you just pee your pants, don't you?
That's what I thought.
And wait a minute. This dude is weak. 10 beers and his bladder's exploding?
He certainly did pray at the altar of Granado, because that's not something that would go down with you.
10 beers was Monday, okay?
What?
That ain't 10 beers.
10 beers is
honestly
9 holes. 10 beers is 9 holes for you.
No.
On the course?
No. I'm not going to reveal my secrets.
Okay. All right. Fine.
But 10 beers, I honestly did that yesterday.
Yeah, and
That ain't a beer-drinking binge.
Did your bladder explode, John?
No. I actually went to the bathroom. No big deal. Yeah.
That guy embarrassed himself and beer drinkers around the world.
Mr.
Really.
Who, if that's your real name.
I would use that name after that story, because not only did your bladder explode, but a beer drinking binge for you consisted of 10 beers.
10 beers.
All of those things are embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. All right, we're done. The Press Box is next right here on ESPN 97.5. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.